broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Sia shows off her butt and Margaret Joseph shows off those pigtails. What is the future for Britney Spears? It looks good for a second season of Big Little Lies. We dish on Atlanta Housewives premiere and examine the concept of housewives fatigue. That and a lot more with Amanda Zott now. Let the ranting begin. I am sitting across from TV producer and co-host of the Reality Rundown podcast, Amanda Zott.
Hi, Grant. Hey. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on, and thank you for having me on your podcast.
Oh my gosh, it was so fun. I'm so glad I get to return the favor.
Yeah, well, I listened to it. I enjoyed the show so much. So.
It's a quid pro quo in this game of podcasting, isn't it?
Yes, yes. It was great. Thank you very much. Aww. So I figured, like, of course, come on the show. Let's talk a little housewives, a little pop culture. I'll be honest, it's so hard to find good topics, especially topics that don't pertain to all these sexual allegations and assault and everyone's an animal. And
right. I mean, we could go on for days on that, right?
Yeah.
So it's nice to kind of take a step out of that and talk about real stuff like housewives and Sia and everything else. So
yeah, I just, you know, it's everywhere. And I always try to find alternative things to talk about on this show because, again, I'm not here to break news. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just here to react and commentate. And so when it comes to all these allegations, I mean, that's its own show. I mean, I'm not interested. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, and especially working in television, I could tell you stories on stories on stories.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We've all heard it. I mean, we all knew all this was happening. And so it's, I don't know what to say besides, yeah, duh.
Yeah. And it's not just this industry either. So it's
exactly.
Like, now all of a sudden it's like this huge thing that someone lifted the curtain on. So.
And I just don't want it to be, you know, desensitized in a couple months and then everyone's calling wolf, you know. So hopefully that doesn't happen and hopefully some things start changing for entertainment and for everyone else.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully we'll see.
This year, so many people have been taken down. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, if you just think about the personalities and the comedians and now world famous directors and people victims of Trump. I mean, this year has been really rough.
I know. I mean, the last year has been pretty terrible. So bye-bye 2017.
Yeah.
Hopefully those even years will be better for
the
us.
The even years usually are better for me. Isn't that weird? I don't know if that's a thing, but for me, I always do better. I'm able to make a move or do something fresh in an even number year.
Well, are you into all the crystals and things like that and the energies? Are you that LA guy?
Well, I do meditate.
Okay.
I mean, but I swear it just keeps my head on straight. And I do yoga. But as far as crystal healing, I tried that once and it wasn't for me.
No, but the even years is where you draw the line.
Yeah, that's usually where I can do something for myself and have it work.
Well,
here's
to 2018.
Yes.
That's all I got to say.
And as we approach the end of the year, all the Christmas stuff is coming. And Sia has some new music.
Okay.
Which, I don't know if you heard this new song that she has out.
It's
on this new album.
Yeah, but I mean, I can only imagine it'll be amazing, right?
Well, I listened to one of them and I didn't like it. I don't remember the name of it. I could look it up, but it's on this album called Every Day is Christmas. And it didn't do anything for me. But maybe if I am so inclined, while I'm shopping, you know, in the earbuds, I'll listen to the new album. Maybe. I'm not a huge Sia fan. Like, I like her as a songwriter, but some of her songs are hit or miss for me.
Yeah, I mean, she's been kind of under the radar for me over the years. I mean, I saw the James Corden, you know, Carpool Karaoke, and I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot how many hits she actually has. And they're just ones on the radio where you hear them and you're like, I like the song, but you don't really remember it.
Yeah.
You don't really know who it is, but I do like her. And I mean, any Christmas album I think is going to be cheesy, yet okay, right? I mean, you're going to put it on in the apartment and listen to it, and it'll be A-okay, so.
I'm all for new Christmas music. I'll be honest, I'm so tired of hearing the same things, like, the same staples. Like, so
but
I'm
Mariah Carey, there you just always listen to. You never stop listening to Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas.
So Sia, she's like typically very private, you know, she hides her face. So the paparazzi got a picture of her naked from behind, and she was not aware of this, so she wasn't hiding. She wasn't, it's not like she was taking naked pictures on her phone and they got leaked. Like, she had no idea they were being taken. So she tweeted, "Someone is apparently trying to sell naked photos of me to my fans. Save your money. Here it is for free. Every day is Christmas."
Right.
Promoting that album.
And you obviously saw the pic, right?
I did.
She has a really good tush. I must say. I know. I didn't know she had so much junk. I had. Yeah. I mean, I always thought she was this little tiny girl. But you know right. what's funny? Like, in true Sia fashion, her face still isn't showing.
Of course.
It's from the back. Yes. And she has a great hourglass figure. I'm digging it. Do we know where this was taken, though?
I think she was on vacation. I heard that she was on vacation. She stepped outside to put her bathing suit out and then go back in, which we're all guilty of in a way.
I guess, right?
You know, so, I mean, regardless, they violated her privacy. Right. So I'm glad that she nipped it in the bud and now no one's going to buy those photos because she spoiled it. Mm-hmm. And so good for her. You know, at least she got ahead of it. So, yeah.
And I mean, that's kind of what I think all these celebs should do when there's like a sex tape or there's a naked picture or pregnancy post, aka Kardashian clan, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. they should just promote it rather than having paparazzi try to like steal those shots and like sell it. Why don't they just announce it and just be done with it? So I like what she did. I'm wondering though, like, who the like, is it a magazine? Us Weekly, like, do we know who it is? Or she was just like nipped it in the butt and it was done.
It looks like it was just a photographer who was trying to sell them. But what I will say, I looked her up in the Google News top stories and the top five articles for her were about her album. And then towards the bottom were these photos. So good for her because if they did sell and leak or whatever, then that's what she would be known for right now. But because of her action, she was now able to, you know, be forward about her album. And it's like, that's what's trending over her behind. So she was smart to do that.
But let's be honest, any press is good press. So even if it was an expose on her tush and those 14 additional photos that supposedly were going to be leaked, it would have been fine.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really think of her that much, but I kind of like her. I like that there's an air of mystery about her. I like that she's an older chick, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So she took care of it.
Yeah, she did her thing. Yeah. So loving the lump. See ya.
Let's talk about Britney Spears.
Oh, let's, please.
And I love to bring her up whenever I can. So I'll never forget where I was when I saw the Instagram painting video of her out on her veranda. And, you know, I just kind of took up painting myself. So I'd like to say that, you know, me and Britney have yet another thing in common. Very excited about this. I loved the video. Did you see this Instagram video?
I did, of course. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, what can't she do?
Oh, exactly.
That's all I got to say. She is multi-talented, multifaceted, and I love Britney. I've loved her since the day she came out when I was in high school 14,000 years ago. And so I can't get enough of her.
I know. I love it. I mean, it's everything. So this Instagram video is nothing new, but there was an auction at the Venetian for Vegas Cares. Mm-hmm. And this is where the infamous painting on Instagram was sold at an auction. There was a lot of art pieces there that were in the memory of the Las Vegas victims of the horrible, terrible shooting. And I will say, Britney she doesn't get much credit, but she is a philanthropic queen. She really does a lot to give to these charities, and she raised $1 million from ticket sales from her show to open up a cancer hospital or a wing or to attribute to a children's cancer facility. So I mean, I just have, you know, obviously, like, there's nothing she can't do. She handwrites fans' birthday messages.
She's just so sweet. You know, though, I mean, I just feel like she's kind of in the Michael Jackson-y, like I feel like they're kind of Peter Pan, like they've never grown up necessarily because they were so big when they were young. And I know Michael Jackson did a lot, and she's kind of in the same, like, they're just so, like, just not childish, but I really like that she gets that, and she's not super snobby, and she doesn't have to do any touring, and she really loves her fans.
Exactly.
So
I say that all the time. She doesn't owe anybody anything.
Nothing,
But yet she's still doing it, and, you know, she's wrapping up her show, which I'm devastated over because I wanted to go one more time.
I know,
but
I know.
It's the way she does it with 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off. Now she comes back for her final 3 weeks in December, which I'm away, you know?
Oh, I mean, no. How many times have you seen her show?
Twice.
Okay.
Yeah. I wish I could go more, and I couldn't get anyone to go with me. I've tried to go since August.
You should have called me because I went probably a year and a half ago or so, and I've been dying to go ever since. Like, I could go to that show so many times, but
so worth it.
Yes, it is. It is worth it. And it's a big dance party in there, and it's so fun, and everyone's screaming the lyrics, and oh my God. And the set design is beautiful too. So
there's a lot going on. Then, you know, they say that kind of compensates for a lot of the walking that she does, but
She was dancing.
She's dancing. I'm just putting it out there.
She was dancing, lip syncing, fine, but goddamn it. Sorry, gosh darn it, she was dancing.
She really was. She's on the floor, she's dancing on a chair, she's jumping off of a tree, she's on a guitar. Relax. But so super loyal to her. So Robin Leach, who's famous, I guess most famous for hosting Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, I have no idea who he is. He got this painting for $10,000. I mean, it's very amateur, but who cares? It's Britney, bitch. Yeah, you know what I mean? So lucky.
Robin Leach, I mean, he knows what's like super glamorous. And so if he bought that, then it must be quality.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, totally. So I mentioned how Britney donated $1 million in ticket sales to the Nevada Childhood Cancer Foundation. Amazing. So then this last Thursday, again on Instagram, she's painting and she's on her deck in a bathing suit just in the middle of November, just painting away.
Well, she's in Vegas too, so it technically doesn't really get hot there. That's typical
true.
Britney fashion, wearing no clothes, as per usual.
I love it. She never, like you said, she never grows up. She's always like at a midriff, mini shorts, like the belly button ring is still there.
Oh, God bless her heart.
I mean, she's 35. You know, a lot of people think they have this notion because she's been around for so long that she's so old and because she has these kids, but she had those kids young. Right. You know, Madonna, I guess, did really well in her 30s. So Britney's in that age group, so don't count her out.
No, she will come back. I mean, she's been doing stuff for years and years and years, just kind of again flying under the radar, but to her fans, she's everything.
Yeah, I need her back on the radio though. That's the thing. Like when Make Me came out, it was on the radio for like a week. Like I just want her mainstream again. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel young when she's on the radio. You know what I mean?
Oh, it does. Well, then, you have your Selena Gomez's and your Demi Lovato's. Like, I guess it's time to, have them have their spotlight. Yeah. But she's just, she's timeless.
Oh, amazing.
Iconic. She's icon.
I say it all the time. Icon. Living icon. So she was shooting a secret project on Friday, and I wish I knew what it was. I put an Instagram story up.
Oh, really?
I went to the back lot at Universal just to see if it was at that lot, because I thought maybe it could be like at any of them.
Right.
But I said, if it is at Universal, I'm going. And there wasn't anything going on. But I'm very interested to know. A lot of fans speculate it's just for another perfume, maybe for the holidays. Mm-hmm. That doesn't do anything for me.
I know, right? Well, I mean, are there any viewers that might be able to give you a little inside scoop?
I don't know.
Need to text you and and IG you, and they need to tell us what's going on.
I know. Everyone's like going crazy trying to find out. At the time of recording this show, we don't know, but I need to know. So what else happened? So Larry Rudolph, her manager, supposedly said that she's taking an extended break and that she's going to come back in 2019, but she's taking 2018 off. I can't imagine him going public with that information, though.
Hmm. I mean, what is she going to do for an entire year? I mean,
like a break from what? Like, I love her, but a break from
a new album?
What?
I mean, is that, a break from what? Because, I mean, she seems to be pretty chill. I mean, she's 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off. She has a huge home, obviously. And I don't know what she needs to do. But unless that's a new album or she's redoing her show, which would be amazing, then that's
what they say. Yeah. I'll be okay with it if on January 1st, 2019, she opens up with a brand new show. Then I will give her the year to prep. But I need something from her. You know what I mean?
Maybe
I need...
we'll get some teases over the next couple months. Who knows?
And, not for nothing, but I will say she is 35. To take a year off is not a great idea, especially when next year is the 20th anniversary of Baby One More Time and her being relevant. Like, I would capitalize on that. They should release a vinyl or something.
Oh, my God, I know. Well, I can just smell something at the VMAs. Like, she's going to have to do something at next year's VMAs for the 20th anniversary. Something's going to happen.
I hope so. I don't think her team is as on it as they should be.
But I don't know if it's her team, but just as a producer, like, that, my mind's already spinning on what she can do for the anniversary.
Oh, my
God. There's so many shows.
So much content.
TRL's coming back, by the way, on MTV.
It is, yeah.
So the VMAs, I mean, there's all these opportunities that she can, slip herself into. So who knows?
Yeah, we need a little bit more from her next year. I'm not okay with this break. Not happening. All right, let's get into my rant of the day.
Okay. Grant, rant of the day.
My rant of the day is about this Cash Cab reboot over on the Discovery Channel. I forgot all about Discovery Channel, by the way, and I mean that with full shade because I didn't know they were still on. But apparently they have to bring this show back, so they can't be doing that great. I don't know anything, but if they're resurrecting this, on December 4th, Stars will make a, quote, surprise element on the show that Ben Bailey is coming back. And I wrote, full of D-list celebrities.
Right? I mean, it's like Cash Cab circa 1990, you know? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know when a show has to come back and that's their reboot? Like, they're really reaching at this point. And is it, it's just like a special, or is it coming back the whole time? It's just these episodes.
It sounds like a full return because there's like a list of people. I never cared for the show. My mother watched the show and I never cared for it. I'm not too much of a game show person. I love like The Price is Right and, you know, some primetime ones here and there. But when it comes to Cash Cab, I thought it was so lame and it wasn't interesting or novel to me. It never appealed to me. So I didn't even know it was off the air, but I was glad to know that it was off for 5 minutes, but like everything else, it has to come back.
I know. Everything old is new again is kind of the theme of television, and that's unfortunate, especially coming from like a TV producer development perspective. I mean, just let other people have their moment to shine, and rather than bringing back, oh, well, let's reboot it, and let's bring every Marvel movie back ever that was ever created. Yeah. Like, oh my God, just stop, you know?
Well, now they want to bring back Supermarket Sweep. They haven't found a network for it, but the production company, like, it was owned by, like, owned by these older people, and so their son is trying to bring it back as like a franchise or whatever, and I don't know what they're going to do with it, but yeah, talk about old and had its time. Like, that was a fun show, but
it was a fun show. You get those turkeys. You always get the turkeys. I would be back on that show in a heartbeat. But Cash Cab, I mean, boring, sorry.
Who are some of the people coming on?
Matthew Perry, which is like, boring. Again, 1990.
Boring.
We have
Matthew Perry will probably do anything for money. Just saying.
It's weird though, because Jeff Garlin and Susie Essman, they're both on from Curb Your Enthusiasm fame.
Yeah.
And I do love them, but it's just like, I don't, you're on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, why are you going on a game show on Discovery? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So that's very odd. Brooke Shields, right?
Oh, another one who will do anything.
Yeah, why is her Crest Tori commercials.
Spelling? Where's Tori Spelling on this list? She'll get in a cab for $10.
Grant, you said it, not me.
Where is she?
Yeah, I know, Brandy Glanville. I mean, Jesus, let's just have everyone do
this. It sounds to me like these are local New York people who are kind of hanging out and are easy and accessible to schedule. They don't have to fly anybody in. I don't know who some of these people are. I mean, I know Gilbert Godfrey. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, it just like,
he's not really a huge get. I mean, I'm not going to like DVR it for Gilbert. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know who Dave Foley is.
Isn't Dave Foley the guy from, isn't he from Full House? Is that, no, that's Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier. Yeah.
Oh my God, Dave Foley. I don't know. Let's Google him right now.
I'm looking him up. Oh, not very good looking.
What's he been on? Tell me.
Well, he's a Canadian actor and comedian, and he was in The Bug's Life. Very relevant. Oh, good for Discover. We're staying ahead of the curve.
Oh my God, Dave Foley. I don't even know who this is, nor do I care. Why do we want to see him playing games on?
Yeah,
Discovery.
I mean, anyone who watched Dr. Ken on ABC, he was in that for a little bit. He was in The Middle for a little bit. So, yeah, again, who is he? I mean, when it comes to Cash Cab, I won't be watching this. I want to know what you thought about it, because maybe I'm in the minority. But, I mean, it's just a show. It wouldn't appeal to our demo. You know what I mean?
No. Again, my mom watched it as well. And I've seen a couple episodes when it first came out years and years and years ago when I was still in Phoenix. And it appeals, I think, to that older female audience, of course. Yeah. And so, it's not, it seems too constricting. I don't like the lights. I don't
like the lights
cares,
either.
You know?
It's like hokey.
And for that matter, like, if they're not giving you like A, B, C, D, it's just like, it's basically like you're in a trivia bar night, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. The stakes really aren't that high for me, whatever.
It's a pass. Mm-hmm. Well, this has been my rant of the day.
That's my opinion!
So let's get into the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Margaret yes. Josephs is on. She's been in full swing since she stepped into episode one this season. She was over on Watch What Happens Live this week, and she was defending the pigtails. Her mom was there. She seems to be having a good time. How are you embracing Margaret into the Bravo universe?
I mean, I'm kind of indifferent to her at this point. I don't mind her. And I don't hate her, which is a good thing, because usually I'm pretty like, I love them or I hate them. Mm-hmm. And I think Siggy has lost her gosh darn mind. I really do. I don't know what this, like, I don't know why she hates her. I don't know why she wants to pull her pigtails out of her head. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I'm rolling my eyes on the other end of this microphone.
Yeah, it's insane. And I think the pigtails, at a certain point, when you get to be a certain age, coming from a female perspective, you just don't wear certain things and certain hairstyles and certain clothing. She has since gone 35 years, exceeded that limit on her pigtail, usage.
She's not embarrassed at all. She thinks they're disarming and charming, and everyone wants to bang a girl in pigtails.
You gotta watch out. That's so weird.
Yeah, especially now with all these people going after young people. You know what I mean? You're pushing it with like how, because girls wear pigtails.
Exactly.
So, it's not something that you want to say is bangable.
You don't want to sexualize pigtails.
No.
That's what little 5-year-old girls wear. And you're right. That's creepy. I never thought of it that way.
I mean, I'm sure she didn't come from that way. And I think she's a normal girl and, whatever. She has every right to wear them. But I don't know. To me, they're not as appalling as some people are finding them, though. I mean, like, they showed the reactions of people on Watch Up and Slam. They all thought it was ridiculous. But she's not embarrassed at all. And you know what? For that, I like her.
Yeah, because, we applaud her, right?
Yeah, she's just going with it. She's like, I'm not changing. Joan Rivers told me to keep them. I'm like, okay. Her relationship with Joan, I can't.
It's so weird. And I think it's funny that someone is, it's like a Tinsley. She's so set in her ways as being that cutesy girl that wears those flowery dresses, the wavy Gisele Bündchen curls, and she will not change. And at a certain point, you're just like, again, roll your eyes. Like, just grow up, try something new. Like, everyone's doing it. Mm-hmm. So
she seems to have an alliance with Danielle because she's in the press. She keeps defending Danielle. She defended Teresa, of course. She knows not to cross her. I think she knows that is to her help to stay on this show, whether she feels that Teresa's a good mother or whatever. I'm liking her. I mean, look, Jersey to me, I said it on your show, the Reality Rundown podcast, that Jersey to me is a real tough to sit through. Mm-hmm. It's improved. I mean, this season I'm actually enjoying to a degree. I'm not bored. We're not looking at things from 2011. Like, we're moving forward, even if it is nonsense. So I'm okay. Like forward. Let's keep this going. Mm-hmm. But I'm liking her on this show. I think that they could use somebody else too on this show. I think that it's okay, but it's very Dolores and Siggy heavy, and they're weird and not really fun. So I'm just kind of struggling with them, especially Dolores. Each episode, I think she's looking worse and worse.
Really?
Not physically, but like in her behavior.
Yeah. I mean, both of them have literally gone 180. I don't know what happened, because it can't just be Margaret. There's no way it's just Margaret's created all this drama. But her and Siggy are, I don't know. They were so sweet, and I really like them. I mean, Dolores, I don't mind, because Frank Jr., I mean, hello, juicy. I can look at him all the day. But Siggy is just, I can't stand the crying. She's just too out there. Like, I'm kind of over her. And it's interesting, because my friend Michael Cimino is one of the producers on Real Housewives of New Jersey. And, shameless plug, he came on Reality Rundown. So check out that episode. But he did cast her. He cast Margaret. They needed a new cast member. He went out and found her, and she was obviously super eccentric, and she had pigtails and she wore them proudly. And so obviously that's like a slam dunk for, reality TV. So, he talks about, the episodes and everything, and it doesn't seem like too much is going to happen in the future. It doesn't, I don't know.
I think this is it.
Yeah.
But I found myself more and more with Housewives across the board looking forward to the reunions. And I think that's where they can change the direction of these shows. Like, I mean, OC, this reunion is paramount. I've said it on every show. Anyone who's listened to me, there wasn't a broken record at this point, but it's so important for those women to show out and to fix things or to have certain conversations if any of them want to have a future besides Kelly Dodd. She's the only one who's secure. And I don't know any of this. This is all speculation. But right. As far as a viewer, she's the only one I think who should remain on that show until they figure some stuff out. I mean, I don't want to see anyone let go other than Peggy and Lydia. Yeah, they can go tonight.
By Peggy, by Lydia. Oh my God, I can't. And Vicky, I'm sorry. I'm done with my storyline on her. I've seen her since day one. Literally day one. I saw that show the second it premiered on Bravo back in the day. Right. And I've had my time with her and it's time to say goodbye. Yeah.
Well, her daughter and her son-in-law are moving. Did you see this? And now apparently it's because of her.
Oh, I didn't know it was because of her. I assumed that, because we just talked about this on my podcast also, we kind of went down into the basics on it, but I assumed it's because he's in the military and he got, you know, put on another base.
Yeah, he said on Instagram, and I'm paraphrasing, with something like they're moving on to a quieter life and to better their family. And apparently, as someone pointed out on Twitter, I think it was Emma, my friend who's on the show for doing New Jersey last episode, I think it was her, said that he said that he tried. He said, we've tried with her, or we've really tried to make this work, and it's becoming a problem. Like it was something foreshadowing a falling out or something. So...
Wow. Well, Ryan's he's a case in itself. I mean, he's a little weird. And I mean, those military guys, don't kill me, guys. But like the military guys, like I feel for them. And I know there's a lot of PTSD going on. Mm-hmm. And he's an odd duck. Something's off with him. And sometimes I feel for Brianna, unfortunately. Yeah. So
I know she's caught in the hell storm over there.
Yeah.
So let's switch gears from one pack of ladies to another. Mm-hmm. Big Little Lies on HBO. My sister told me to watch the show, and I'm so glad I did. Mm-hmm. Nothing new. There's nothing, you know, the show aired, whatever. I mean, we're not going to recap it from the beginning of the year. But there's been a lot of discussion. You know, the show won 8 Emmys. A lot of discussion about a second season. And now it has not been confirmed by HBO, but it looks like more than not that they're going to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was the same way. So I kind of held out a little to watch it. And then everyone was like, you have to watch this. And so I became super addicted. But in true Amanda form, I don't like surprises. And so I ruined it for myself. Oh, and of course, saw who the murderer was. And I knew it. I mean, you could kind of tell. I saw the first episode without knowing what was going on. But I love it. And I heard her rumblings, of course, that it was coming back for a season two as well without anyone confirming it. So I'm very excited. I can't wait. Yeah. And listen, I mean, it's so amazing because, you know, I'll play this card. Being a woman in this industry is rough. And I'm glad that there's almost an all-female cast, you know, that they're the main lead stars. And I'm super excited. And they won 8 Emmys. And Handmaid's Tale was right behind them with obviously a large female cast as well. And it's amazing, and brava.
Yeah, I really want the show to come back. Mm-hmm. I heard good things for doing a little digging. So I think that it will ultimately happen. What's her face? Reese Witherspoon has taken herself out of a movie, they say, to make time for this. She's cast in a Fox film, and now she's opening up her schedule. You know, this is all speculation, but that she could be working on season two. So TV Line reports that they're going to go into production in spring of 2018. So that's right around the corner. So that must mean that writing is happening, I would assume.
Oh, absolutely. So. Yeah. And it was based off of a book, correct?
Correct.
So did the finale cover the whole book, or did it cut?
They said it did.
Okay.
They said it covered the book, so then they were like, well, what do we do next? But have these amazing three-dimensional characters and families. I'm sure they could. I hope that the author of that book is consulting, like, for real, not just getting a consulting credit. Mm-hmm. Like, this is his creation. This is his mind. So I would love for, you know, him to have a heavy hand in the story. And hopefully it's not just a bunch of Hollywood execs, like, trying to write for Emmys. You know what I mean? Like, let's write for character first, you know? So we'll see. I was a big fan of the show, and I love a good miniseries because it's just tight and succinct and strong.
Right.
You know, it has a beginning, middle, and end, and there's I enjoy them. So we need more stuff like this, and especially with this cast.
Oh, my God, I know. I was just going to say the star power is insane. And, you know, just having, like, Nicole Kidman and Laura Dern and, like, these huge powerhouse women to be in a TV show. Like, remember 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, it was, like, TV, ew. Like, they were only doing, mm-hmm. like, even Reese Witherspoon, the only time she ever did a TV show was when she was in Friends and she played Rachel's sister. And that was, what, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
So I love how TV, like where TV's gone. And it's cool to see Nicole Kidman in a TV show.
Wonderful.
Even if it's
her.
A miniseries, but still, it's a TV show.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I'm in for it. So I don't know. We'll keep you posted over here. So when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Amanda. We're going to be looking at the Atlanta premiere over
yes.
on Bravo. And we're going to learn a little bit more about her, that and more in a moment. Now this.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Amanda Zott, and we're going to be looking at the Atlanta Housewives premiere, season 10. NeNe's there, Kenya's married, we haven't seen Kim yet. I watched it, and I want to know, what were your first impressions?
Well, Atlanta has such high expectations, I think, for myself and everyone else, it seems.
True.
So it's one of the highest rated shows in the franchise, and I liked the episode, you know, Fifty Shades of Cynthia. Sorry,
yeah.
I thought it was genius. I love her, and I was saying this on our podcast that I can only hope that when I'm 50 years old, that I have enough looks that I can have a party like that. I mean, it's good. I guess we'll kind of get into, you know, Kenya's marriage. I don't know how deep though, because I know she's really secretive. I can't wait for Kim. I love Kim Bierman. You know, NeNe, she's, I like NeNe, but she's just, in my mind, I think she's just a little too produced. I think she knows exactly what strategy she's going down, and it's just not the organic NeNe that I love. I don't know about you. What do you think?
I don't really care for her very much.
Really?
I've said it all the time. Yeah, she's not very authentic, and her ego's out of control.
Yeah,
so I don't really need her on the show at all. And I really don't think they need her, honestly.
They don't.
Somebody like New York needed Bethany, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And some people might argue that they didn't, but you know, it's only really helped the show. I don't see how NeNe will really help the show because it's doing fine. I mean, you know, it's like we've told her story. That's how I feel about a lot of these housewives, and that's how Bravo will put it when they like phase someone out like Heather Dubrow, like we told their story, like that's the line. So, you know, she's supposed to have this, I haven't seen it, I wouldn't know where to find it, but she has a booming acting career in Los Angeles.
Oh yeah, right. Like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
My God, five years ago.
She's a huge TV personality. I mean, I work in television, I watch a lot, I haven't seen her. Apparently she's doing it, apparently, just not on my, it's
no,
not on my radar.
I don't think she's done anything. I mean, obviously that's
she's
the joke. Exactly.
But whatever.
I think does she need money? Is
whatever.
That what it is?
Regardless, she is successful because she is a household name. She's one of the few that really have become a household name from this. So I can't knock her for that. But she's back doing the show for whatever reason. And I don't know. I think that, you know, it's never really a good look when you have to go back to your first job.
Yes, you're right. And I mean, how many times has she come back? You know, she's kind of always been there.
She's always been there.
Yeah, and she just won't go away. And yeah, again, it's just like, I don't know.
She's all right in the fact that she'll go there and she'll come up with the funny lines and stuff, but I don't know. This I had a hard time getting to this episode, especially I think the party dragged out. Wasn't too into it. I had heard that it wasn't the strongest show, especially coming back, which is fine. I would rather have it be more chill than fake. So I have to be okay with the way that it was. But I wasn't like in love with it. And I actually, towards the last act, I was like, let's go. Like I got all this stuff to do. Like I found myself like, on the outside of it versus being into it.
Right. You know, you're like doing laundry and folding laundry at the same time, making dinner. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously we know how these shows play out because we watch it via social media, which is a new platform. And, you know, I know that the last episode was their Halloween episode, and that's when Nene came out as, you know, the bug sprayer and the whole roach situation. So we know stuff's going to happen throughout the season.
I was saying this last week on this show. We know all the highlights through social media. We know about Kenya and how things are going to fall out with her when they go on the cast trip, and eventually she brings the husband on. And
Kim's fall from grace. It seems like everyone hates Kim also. So I don't know. I mean, it's... I'll watch it. Trust me. It's like OC. I will watch it. I will be there. But am I going to like be super invested? Is it going to be something that I'm all for? Meh. We'll see.
You know, I enjoy these shows, but it is getting to be too fighty. Like, I forgot, like, now Shami is going to be on this coming episode. And I was like, oh, wait, what's her status with everyone? I keep forgetting about these fights. It's becoming too fight of the week and too heavy with that. And that's what happened with Mob Wives. Every week with that was another fight between somebody else, unresolved business, and then insert new person only to get them to fight. Like, it wasn't an organic thing. So I worry about all this because I can't keep track of all these feuds. Some are more interesting than others, but it's also very, very negative. Like the Dallas reunion, I had a problem with. I didn't think it was very good because I thought it was really dark and negative and hateful. And we're just living in a time where it's like we want an escape and to have a little bit more fun. Right. That being said, I don't want filler, but I really don't want to have to see people live to tear someone else down and destroy their marriage and their public image and their business. And it's really become almost like destroying, like you mentioned Kim. Like, you know, Kim's gonna take a beating. Like, you know, I don't really want to see anyone be destroyed.
Like, these are rape accusations as of last season, you know, on Atlanta.
It's not entertaining to see someone be wrongly convicted of rape, especially now.
Jesus, especially. Like, I mean, like you mentioned, like, this is escapism. This is why we're watching television. This is just too much. The storylines, it's too deep. You know, there's bone collectors out, and it's like, I don't know. A little too messy.
Yeah, I lose track of who's fighting with who and why and what the history is because... It's exhausting in a way. Yeah, I want to have fun. I don't want to have to worry about taking notes on why Sheree is upset with someone from three seasons back. Like, whatever. I don't know. But Atlanta is what it is. I'm going to keep looking at it. But, you know, I'm glad it's on. But it's a lot. I mean, I'm just housewived out, to be completely honest.
Well, yeah, there's four of them on currently right now. Yeah. I mean, we're going through reunions on Dallas and coming up on OC.
Thank God.
Then Beverly Hills is coming back in December. So it's just like constant housewives all the time. And
And I love them, but it gets, for me, I'm in too deep with all these shows and it gets tiring. Like, I'll be very honest, and I put this out on Twitter. Like, I really don't know if I'm ready for Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I'm not really looking for, I mean, Dorit, she just kills me. Like, if we want to go into this, we can. But, like, there's just something about Dorit and PK that, like, it's when it's emotionally draining to watch these shows, that's when I'm just like, why? Because my life is emotionally draining. I don't need to then escape into, you know, another mess, but
that's how I feel about life. Like, this last fall, this October was really tough, and I had a lot of twists and turns, and I wasn't in the mood for anything Halloween. I was like, my life is literally scary enough. Like, every day it was like something else, so I really wasn't in the mood for any of this. So that's how I feel with this. It's like, I don't need to go through any other drama through, you know, osmosis through the cosmic vibes of Vicky Gunvalson. Like, I just don't need it in my life, but I want to be entertained. And that's why I love Dallas, because Dallas is so over the top and so ridiculous. But the reunion is like, it's a tough watch.
Yeah,
it's really rough. I don't know. I will watch Beverly Hills for sure, but they better have a good season. I put this also out on Twitter. You know, that promo that they've been teasing that they're going to release, it better be good. I'm just saying, it better be good, because I don't want, we suffered through Munchausen and Pantygate for, you know, four dozen episodes of those things. So, like, I'm concerned about Beverly Hills. I say it out of love and concern. So that's it. Anyway, let's talk more. Let's talk more about you. You know, we had Paul on the podcast, so your co-host from the Reality Rundown. And we could talk a little about that and how, you know, just how you kind of spearheaded that and what happened with that and what kind of direction you're going in with that show.
So The Reality Rundown is a podcast that my co-host Paul and Matt, we all created. I met Paul at E! I'm a producer there. I produce award season, and Paul came in on the show, and then his boyfriend Matt joined. Mm-hmm. Well, because Matt was working in New York. They're both from Philly, and Paul moved here recently, and then Matt joined him. So then when we all got together, all we would talk about was Housewives and Britney Spears and all that world, yeah. You know? So we were like, why don't we just start a podcast? Because we all have, you know, our stories in the business on meeting these women and behind the scenes, you know, stories.
Totally.
And we gab. And so we started it, I'd say about, you know, 6 months ago or so. We're on our 11th episode. We'll air also this, you know, today, the same mm-hmm. day. We have Leanne Locken on for our second time. So she's dishing on, you know, the part two of the reunion. And it does, like we mentioned, it does get a lot darker, especially for her. Mm. And it's just really fun. And our angle specifically is we talk with producers primarily of the shows. So we want to get that BTS look on how right. these shows are made, if they're real, if they're not, how casting works, fun little tidbits. We're not that type of show where we're super salacious and gossipy in any way. And now it's kind of fun because we've been getting into the talent side as well. So it's a mix of producers and talent, getting both sides of the story. So it's just really fun, you know, to do on the side. Hopefully it'll gain, you know, viewers, yours, hopefully as well. Yes. And so that's, you know, it's just one of the things I do on the side.
Yeah. So talk a little bit more about E! And these live events. I'm sure people would be dying to hear what this is like. I mean, I assume you're out there for these Oscars and these Emmys in the heat.
Oh, my God. Yes. The heat. Yeah. So I'm one of the segment producers on award season. So that includes the Golden Globes, SAGs, Grammys, and the Oscars. So this is my third year now. I go back in December. But prior to that, I also did TV Guide. I was doing all their awards as well. So I was just, you know, a smaller role, obviously, but I was still out in the field in the truck for, you know, Oscars and Grammys. And so I think it's like my sixth or seventh season on the award circuit, if you will. So it's really fun. We produce all of the segments, basically the entire show. Of course, we have an EP that puts the rundown together, but we go in for pitch meetings, and all of us, it's really cool because from PAs up to producers are able to pitch ideas. They go up to the higher ups and they get approved, and then we get assigned. And so we're putting together packages. So we'll go in the edit bays. And then, you know, if we put together games or fashion hits or, you know, marketing integrations, those are basically the main ones we produce. So then we do that all pre-production. And then we're assigned a position on show day as well. So last season, I was Kris Jenner's host. Which was super amazing and so fun. And I was like dead. I shouldn't be a fangirl right now, but of course I was professional, but it was really amazing because I love the Kardashians, as you know, ridiculous as the show is. Mm-hmm. I've been watching them since day one. So it was really cool to work with Kris. And I just produced, you know, I was there during commercial breaks. I prepped her on what was upcoming, you know, what she should say. You know, she kind of had some stories, especially about Kim and everything. And so we wanted to make sure those really fun anecdotal stories are in the show as comments. So we just do that. And we produce the countdown show, which is a lot of game and fashion hits. It's prior to the actual live red carpet show. Then we go into the live show with Ryan Seacrest, and then we have an after party. So it is a very long day.
I bet.
But it's super fun, and I love it. And I love Live World. Anything happens. You always have to be on your feet and be thinking ahead. And for that matter, like, I don't have to do something taped and then edit it. So it's done. Once it's there, you are done with
it
and you move on to the next one. Yeah.
That's great. So, how did you get into a position like this, specifically live alternative programming? Like, how did you land there?
I mean, listen, I don't even know. Basically, well, so I started out in advertising, actually. I was a copywriter. I studied advertising in school. I got my master's degree in communication focused in advertising. And I started my career there. I was in advertising for about 6-7 years. So I wrote all the ads, specifically digital. So I was writing websites and, you know, click ads and things like that, organic and paid optimization for SEO. And then I just kind of got burnt out. I was working in Phoenix and, you know, I wanted to move. I didn't, what was I going to do in Phoenix for the rest of my career? I didn't want to be, you know, just landlocked essentially. And it's also 500 degrees there. So I wanted to change. I finally moved to Los Angeles and I knew an executive producer. Shout out to Robin Raiden. She was producing a show called Hollywood 411 at TV Guide. And she's like, do you want to just come and shadow me for the day? And I was like, yeah, of course. And so it was really cool to see how that worked. It was a weekly news entertainment show. We shot on Fridays, I think. And after the first day, I got a call like the next couple of days. She's like, do you want a PA? And I was like, I don't even know what that is. So I was like, yeah, obviously I'll come in and you're giving me a job.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a normal PA where you're like setting up pop-up tents and refilling crafty. You know,
this I did that.
I know. And I've never done that, thankfully. I didn't do it very well.
I was never asked back. I didn't want to be back. But yeah, that.
Well, you're a more creative
type. That
wasn't
for
me. So,
yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I did like more of the admin side too. That was more my style. But yeah.
Yeah.
So what were your responsibilities?
Well, I was a producer PA. So I was pulling clips. I was.
Okay,
yeah.
Much better.
Yeah, exactly. So we were, you know, always on Radar Online and, you know, all Perez and just like putting stuff together for packages that we'd always hit on a weekly basis, pulling clips for packages that the producers needed, watching all the shows, making sure we weren't missing anything. And then also we were helping out in the studio too. So it was a really cool way
Sounds
to
great.
See how things worked.
Especially
and then,
like, yeah, to learn how like the sausage is literally made and like being so in-house production, research, like all that being in-house.
Yeah,
great.
And like helping out with writing. And then, you know, I was helping, you know, putting together packages very quickly, you know, and I really liked that creative outlet. So it was different, but it was still in the same creative space. So I did that for a while. Then the show got canceled and did some stuff with the, you know, awards season. I did a couple seasons of those and
on TV Guide.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, I guess it's, I shouldn't say it's unfortunate, but at a certain point, like you move to Los Angeles, you don't really know anyone. You don't have a lot of money saved up and you need a job. So one of my friends was like, they need a production coordinator for the Halo Awards, which is on Nickelodeon. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but fine, I'll do it. I need money. And it's the logistics side. It's the people, places, things. And again, I'm not going to be negative about it, but I really dislike that world. I didn't like the production side. And unfortunately, because I'm obviously good at everything, I was able to move up to production manager. And so I, you know, once you, you know how it, this world is, especially in entertainment, like if someone meets you as something, that's all you're ever going to be to them.
It's true.
And so it was really, really, I was so burnt out. I worked on every show you can imagine, from Shark Tank to Victoria's Secret to Million Second Quiz in New York. Well, you know, I mean, I've worked on every show as a production manager and coordinator. And I was like, I need to get out of this space. This is not who I am. I'm a creative person. And so I was finally able to get back into the producing side as of a couple years ago. And I've really tried to, you know, make a business for myself. And I'm really loving developing. I love the development side rather than just, you know, like producing and getting props for stuff and putting together some packages, which I love. I've really loved developing shows and putting those together and casting them and selling them, which I haven't personally done on my own yet. But, you know, I've been doing it on my own with producing partners, and then I've been doing it at a production company on and off. So it's really cool to see that side.
What are some challenges that come with trying to sell a show, a unique idea, IP?
Well, nothing's original. That's the thing.
that's true.
Yeah, everything's an iteration or a spinoff of something else. I mean, I think I have a couple shows that I haven't seen before, but the problem that I'm encountering is personally, like by myself when I'm producing, I had a meeting with a really big, you know, agency, and they told me straight out, they were like, well, you're just yourself. Like, you're just by yourself. Like, you're not going to go anywhere because you're not with a big production company or with a Bravo or with an NBC or something. And that's unfortunate and mm-hmm. not cool in my mind. Like, it's so uncool, in the words of Luann, I should say, mm-hmm. oh my God. It doesn't give you like, it's not like this city is anything can happen. Like the dream yeah. is like you come to totally. The city and you become anything and you're this little pipsqueak from God knows where. Yeah. It's not like that.
And it's so frustrating because they're limiting themselves from an original mm-hmm. idea or a fresh voice, new blood, whatever you want right. to say. And that's so common, especially in writers' rooms on the scripted side. Like, they just want to know what the last project you worked on. Yeah. You know, it's like if you came in with a full long story pitch and they're just you, they wouldn't even bother. But it could be really good, but they just cut themselves right out of it. Yeah. Drives me nuts.
Yeah, and it's weird because, I mean, like, all the shows, like, I'll develop shows for production companies and produce them and everything, and that's okay. Like, I'm credible and legitimate there. But then when I'm on my own, mm-hmm. I can't even get a foot in the door, and I can't get representation. And it really sucks. But then you don't want to work for a production company. Give them your original ideas because then you don't own it, right. and the company owns it. So it's just like this... You're, you know, shit out of luck, regardless of where you go. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm still trucking along. And
it's so tough. Who knows? These production companies, things can die so quick, and then it's not your own. And then it's real, mm-hmm. it's real interesting how quickly your idea had nothing to do with you and it was somebody else's idea.
Oh my God.
And yeah.
I can't, mm-hmm. like, I won't say which shows, but I kid you not, Grant. I have seen segments and specific shows that I've pitched to production companies and networks that are now on the air and I have nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. So I want to let you know that actually happens in real life. They steal your ideas and it's unbelievable. And even if you register with the WGA, you're kind of out of luck. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
You know, I was at a production company and towards the end of my run there, they implemented these monthly meetings where we had to go in and we had to pitch to one other assistant who worked in like business affairs. I was the development assistant, mm-hmm. but we had to pitch to this business assistant and we had to present fully fleshed out pitches wow. as well as a one page, you know, on its own, one sheet, mm-hmm. you know, with the images, yeah. any research you've wanted to, you know, to use. And, you know, obviously I didn't give these people my good ideas. What Heck motivation no. would I have to give them any type of insight? So I give them yeah. like ideas and like stupid things like following like popular upcoming DJs and like the music circuit at festivals. Like, I'm not yeah. going to tell them like, sure, go figure it out. Like, I'm not going to give them my good ideas because I knew that it would like these traps, you know, it's yeah, like, luckily exactly. I knew not to say anything. Because you never give your best ideas,
yeah.
especially to another company, and then you're being an assistant, so what type of clout do you have?
Exactly, like yeah. You're like, thanks, pat on the shoulder, kid, yeah. yeah.
And other people were like, oh, this is going to get me noticed. I'm like, no, it
isn't. Not in this business, boo. Nope. No, it won't.
They're not worried about what mind this came out of.
Yeah.
So I really hated those meetings, to be completely honest, because mm-hmm. I felt like I was being set up, you know, and you had to have all this information, you had to present this stuff, and it was going to go, the good ones will be floated along. I was like, oh, who cares? Like,
yeah, it's set up very odd. And so now I'm at this weird space in my life where, you know, I made this huge change from, you know, Phoenix. I grew up in Phoenix and I was a writer. And then I made the jump to TV and I've more than worked my way up, you know, in the last yeah. 6 years I've been here. And now I'm in this weird space where it's like, do I continue producing and developing these ideas on my own with my partners? Or do I go to a production company and be a development producer or exec, you know, like I don't know where to go. And either like I own my ideas, but it's that much harder to get them sold, or I just deal with it. And, you know, I don't know.
From my experience at a production company, Unscripted, they weren't selling things. It was an environment where a lot of people, even people I keep up with online who worked there, are now doing something completely different. Really? Like teaching people Spanish language. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people have just moved
on. They're over it. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the energy that you want with your creativity. You know, yeah. I don't know. I'm not speaking for all of them. I don't. This is from my experience of people that I've seen that have moved on. I just didn't see them selling shows. It was almost like the heyday had passed.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And you know what?
It's hard to say it.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of times I know for a fact that because I've seen this and I've been in this, you know, the space where it's not no one's really developing their own ideas. No. Either they're bringing people in like pitch, like independent people in that have obviously have credibility and have EP'd mm-hmm. and sold shows before, or talent is coming to the networks and the networks are going to these production companies saying,
build
hey,
a show with,
yeah,
around
Grant
this
wants to develop a show. He wants something around his podcast. So production company, you figure this out. I'm also going to take it to the other five production yep. companies that I'm aware of and you guys battle it out to develop the best show and yeah. then we'll choose one. Right. And that's like, it's crazy. I mean,
oh yeah, I was in a lot of those meetings where they send the talent mm-hmm. and the talent picks who they like best.
Exactly.
And so it's like a huge contest. It's like a kiss up, like, oh, let's do this. Let's get this. And let, you know, you're going to mm-hmm. meet with all of us and we're going to have a catered lunch for this. And they're vying for this talent yep. because that's the way they can remain relevant at these networks because they're just not selling shows.
No. And it's weird because like we were talking so about the movie industry where they're just like reiterating how many Marvel movies can we have? Yeah. You know, like there's nothing original. No one's taking a chance.
It doesn't even appeal to me. I haven't been to the movie since February.
Really? What was the last one you saw?
Well, La La Land.
But, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, but that was an original. That's amazing. Like yeah. I'm surprised that got through, to be honest.
I know.
But
only
yeah.
because of the director. That's the only reason why. But I mean, now we're going to see a lot more of that. You know, we're going to see a lot more
thankfully,
things.
Yeah.
You know, one thing works and we all got to swarm it and water it down and make mm-hmm. it into junk. But I mean, you know, the success of a musical is nothing new. I don't know why it's like, oh, this is something we should be pursuing. Like, don't underestimate yeah. the power of theater and live music and performances and people with actual talent. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it was such a shock that that movie was such a success. But
because it hadn't happened since what, like years and years yeah, and years. The last 70s. Big musical I saw was Grease, for crying out loud. Yeah. No, so, yeah. I mean, hopefully with the space of like the Hulus and the Netflix. Oh, yeah, Chicago.
That was,
the
but that was Chicago stands on its own. Right. Like, has what else? But so go ahead.
And it wasn't based off of something that had already been on stage. You know, La La Land hadn't. Yeah, it was an original.
That's true.
But
an actual true original. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't tell you last time.
But hopefully, you know, it gives a better opportunity because, like I said, with the Hulus and the Netflixes and the Crackles and the whatever else, you know, everyone wants content. Everyone wants award shows. So hopefully that, you know, things might start coming around and the unscripted side might pick up a little more and they
Yeah, I'm hoping. I think I was in it at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. I think the game could have changed more now. I know, especially now, these apps like Netflix and SVOD and Amazon mm-hmm. channels of the world are now more open to hearing pitches for unscripted content, where at that time they're very open. They were like, we are only looking at scripted because they are building. Now they're a little more open to this stuff. So who knows? But I love talking to
Fingers
you about
crossed.
This. I feel like we both know this world pretty well, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, so, it's fun talking
the good
to
and the bad,
in the
you
biz,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So where can we find you and anything else you'd like to promote?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, the Reality Rundown.
Yes.
Watch E. Please watch award season. So I'm on Instagram. I'm not like a big person by any means. I have like mm-hmm. 600 followers. I'm just a regular old gal. It's Zotterpop, Zotterpop, like Otterpop, Zotterpop. My last name is Zot. And then, of course, I got my new little puppy. Her name's Cherry. She's a mini dachshund. And
you must follow. If you like cute dogs on Instagram, this one's one to follow.
She's the sweetest. She's at Cherry the Mini Doxy. It's Doxie. And so, you know, it's just a silly little page that her daddy and I, you know, create. My boyfriend's also in the business. He's a camera operator, works on dancing and America's Got Talent and stuff. So, Yeah, we're, you know, a little Los Angeles family with our new little pup.
Business. I like that. Yeah,
and that's all I got. You know, I'm a...
Yeah. Well, everyone needs another dog to follow, so look, I'm serious.
There you go. Make her Instagram famous.
Yes. So that was... This is great. Thank you for coming on so much. And we'll do it again.
Oh, I'd love it. Thank you. It was so fun chatting with you.
Same here. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate you all supporting the show. And you guys can look out for a special Thanksgiving episode coming to Grant's Rants. Something to plan on while you're traveling to, you know, you can listen to it while you're traveling, flying on a train, in a car. So hopefully it'll make the crazy holiday travel, or if you're just staying at home, it'll make it a little bit more entertaining and manageable while the holiday season arrives. Like, here we are. So good stuff coming as always.
We're done. Please leave. I'm asking you to leave.
Thank you once again. Heaven's telling us we got to get out of here. And I'll talk to you soon. More rants to come.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grant's Rants.
Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.